Welcome to a Veterans Podcast, powered by Wisconsin Veterans Network, the show where we hear unique, inspiring stories from veterans all over. Veterans who've transitioned, who've overcome obstacles, and even those still struggling. We will learn all veterans have a unique story, ones filled with pain and triumphs, and we will learn no veteran is alone, no matter the path they took. We share their stories to help motivate and inspire the world, to help understand what it means to be a veteran, and most of all, we share to give them a voice amongst the noise. You can find us at aveteranspodcast.com to learn more and how you can be a part of the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome back.
Hi.
It's Kelsey and Noah.
Welcome back to a Veterans Podcast. Today we have a special guest for you guys. We have a Purple Heart recipient, Marine. Kelsey has more information on him.
Yeah. So his name is Corporal Jeremy Stengel, and he served from 2004 to 2011. And he's got a really unique story, so I'm super excited to have him. I actually went to high school with him, and he's one of the reasons why I joined the military.
Fascinating.
Crazy.
But before we get started, just so you know, everything's powered by Wisconsin Veterans Network. If you're a veteran in Wisconsin and you need assistance with anything, you can contact Wisconsin Veterans Network. Information about them is at wisvetsnet.org, or you can find information about that and the podcast at aveteranspodcast.com. With that being said, I think we're ready to get started, and we will get him on the line.
All right. Hello.
Hey, Jeremy, can you hear us or hear
yep.
me? Noah's here, too.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys.
I'm so excited you're on the show.
Me, too.
You're kind of popular.
Eh.
No? You're in high demand. So before we get started, I'm gonna brag on you for a second because I just think you're so cool.
Brag away.
So Jeremy played high school football. He was kind of a cool dude back then. I mean, he's still cool now, but and now he plays on the Wounded Warrior Amputee football team.
Interesting.
So it's super cool. Like,
do you guys know each other from high school?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Wow.
That's We're basically crazy. Like besties.
And then you both decided after service to move back to Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Yep.
I feel bad for you guys.
He's just a hater. He's not from here originally, Jeremy. Don't mind him.
Yeah. Wisconsin's got good state bennies for vets.
That's true.
They do have outstanding benefits. I'll give you that.
All right. Are you ready to get started, Jeremy?
Okay.
So we already told everybody you were in the Marine Corps and you were a corporal when you got out. So why don't you tell us why you joined the military?
I was sophomore year was when 9/11 happened, and Kelsey, I'm sure you remember just about going to all of your morning and probably most of your afternoon classes and just watching it all unfold on the television.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Because back in those days, we had the big box TVs, not the the new slick flat screen TVs that you got today.
Did it happen while you guys were in school? No, right?
Yeah, we were sophomores in high school.
So did the teacher roll in the TV?
Yeah. Well, some of the classrooms had TVs like in the corner mounted, but they like rolled it in even into study hall. They like pushed the TV
in. That just brought a bit to my attention when he said that, nostalgic teacher rolling in the TV. But continue. Sorry.
And I remember it was third period. It was Mr. Slindy's world history class when we actually saw the towers collapse. And I had a Marine Corps recruiting card in my wallet at the time, and I'm just looking at it, and I'm like, Mr. Slindy, do you mind if I make a phone call? And he's like, well, what are you going to do? I'm like, I'm going to enlist.
That's crazy. So in that moment, like before then, did you have an idea that you were going to go in the military? Because I feel like you were always kind of motivated in that way.
I always like, you know, it was always like in the back of my mind. I'm like, should I go? Like, you know, and I was a freshman, so I really wasn't like I really had no plans for after high school, really. It's like, well, I know I'm going to go to college, but I don't know what for yet.
Did any of your family members serve, cousins or anything like that?
I had two grandfathers. They were both in the Army during World War II. One was a doctor. One was a machine gunner, D-Day all the way through.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
I had two uncles on my mom's side. They both did full careers. One was Air Force and the other one was Navy.
So why did you choose the Marine Corps then?
Well, I felt like, I'm like, well, all the other three I kind of covered in my family, so I guess that only leaves me with the Marines.
Oh, well, that made it easy.
Just
I
doing
suppose.
Your part, right?
Yep.
That's funny.
That's crazy. So, the shortened version of your story, because your story has so much to it, and I would love to, like, focus on that one day, but today we want to focus on, like, when you had to get out and, like, why and those kind of things. So can you give us kind of a shortened version of what happened that led to you having to get out of the military?
So I was on my second combat deployment. I was in Iraq for this tour. I was in Afghanistan before that. And my Humvee was hit by a pressure plate IED. It was two anti-tank mines stacked on top of each other, which essentially blew our up-armored Humvee into a million pieces.
Yeah.
Right. And so I was hospitalized for just about all eternity.
It was a couple years. Weren't you there for a couple years?
I was in D.C. for about 4.5 years.
So they sent you to Walter Reed then?
So they sent me to the Naval Hospital in Bethesda first, and then they sent me to Walter Reed after I was stable enough and I had no immediate foreseeable surgeries in the near future.
And then what year was it that you got injured?
That was February 1st of 07 was when I was hit.
Okay. And what was what was your, like, final, I don't want to say, like, your diagnosis, because I don't think that's the right word, but what was, like, your ultimate injury? Maybe that's, I don't know. Is that insensitive to say? I don't mean it like that.
I guess the most severe injuries that I sustained, I had a below-the-knee amputation on my left leg. On my right leg, I had suffered so much shrapnel damage that I pretty much lost all motor function of my right foot. And then I had a L1 burst fracture of my back, which required 6-inch rods and screws to be put in.
Wow.
So you're like the bionic man now.
A little bit.
So after rehabilitation and everything like that and going through everything you did, was it your choice? I'm guessing, were you medically retired?
Yeah, I was medically retired.
Was it your choice to start the process or were you offered to stay in?
I was initially offered, you know, the option to stay in. And, you know, initially I was like, yeah, I want to stay in because, you know, I signed up initially planning on doing, you know, 20 plus years in the Marines. And then, like, through therapy and then I also had a few pop-up surgeries that needed to be done. And, you know, I was just like evaluating my life. I'm like, well, if I do stay in, I'm more than likely just going to be writing a desk.
And that's so not your personality at all.
Yeah. And I was just, I was just like, well, if I'm going to be writing a desk, and by the time I was medically retired, I had 7 years and change. So it's like, ah, man, if I'm writing a desk for 13 years, I just might end up losing my mind.
Yeah, that's a long time to be sitting there.
Yeah, for sure. So through the process of like your injury and then rehab and therapy and all those things, were you able to do anything for yourself to prepare for getting out? Or did you just kind of like, one day you woke up and they were like, you have 2 weeks. Peace out.
No, like, I mean, we had, I mean, especially being in D.C., you know, we had a ton of resources. There was a lady there. Her name was Heather Bernard. And, like, her sole job was, like, getting us all ready for when we do end up retiring and maybe going back to college or whatever. And so, like, I was in that time more towards the end of those 4.5 years, I'd say, like, the last 2 years. Like, I was meeting with, like, tutors and, like, meeting with college people, getting like my letters written up and everything.
Oh, wow. Didn't you do a program too? Like, I think it's called Operation Warfighter or something like
that. I did an internship with the FBI for about a year and a half.
That's super cool.
That's pretty interesting. And everything you did as you were talking about getting ready in your transition and were, everything was one-on-one. You weren't in a group, right?
I mean, really, the only group thing was the TAPS class.
We laugh because everybody brings that up.
Everybody says the same thing.
Yep.
Yep, the TAPS class.
And then the interesting thing is I had to take it twice.
Oh, how come?
Which blew major donkey appendages.
Yeah, that's, I couldn't imagine going through it twice.
Oh no, why did you have to do it twice?
Oh, because of the whole medical board thing, because I had to do the med board twice because I was doing it the first time and then I was having incredible amount of pain in my right foot because I had a pretty much a 6-inch surgical screw going through my ankle because my right foot was broken like a piece of glass. And so I was like, either take the screw out or lop off my leg because this is ridiculous. And apparently whenever you have surgery, your med board process stops and you have to wait 6 months.
Yeah.
So you were almost ready to get out then. And then
I wasn't ready to get out, but I was like, I was in the process of like getting all those boxes checked off.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
But it was just like, it's like, I already did this. I did this like a year and a half ago. Why the hell do I got to take it again? What's changed?
Yeah, the military doesn't care.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
And in what year were you finally medically retired?
August of 2011.
2011. And did you have any idea of what you were doing upon leaving? You mentioned the internship. Was that your next step?
The Operation Warfighter program that Kelsey was talking about, it's just it's a real interesting program that they have for all the disabled vets out there where you can literally intern at, you know, one of the infinite alphabet soups out there in D.C. And, you know, some of them lead to, you know, job careers and others, it's just, you know, a really nice thing to, you know, add on your resume.
Yeah. So none of them really stuck with you or what?
Oh, like, you know, they kind of stuck with me, but like the thing was that, you know, I would have to live out in DC, and then, you know, I would also have to, you know, major in something along the lines of that, that program I was doing. And it's just like,
did you know what you wanted to be when you grew up? Like after you got out of the military, I always joke with people and I'm like, I don't even know what I want to be when I grow up. So did you know when you were getting out or?
Yeah, I knew, like, because I had great physical and occupational therapists. And I was just like, you know, I think that's something that I wanted to do when I eventually got retired.
That's awesome. That's awesome that those people had such an impact in your life. You know, mm-hmm. You don't hear a lot of people say good things about military medicine. So for you to like acknowledge the fact that those people made such an impact on you, I think that's really neat and something we should point out. Because it's rare. So what do you think in your transition out, what do you think is one of the biggest mistakes that you may have made? Or looking back, like, hindsight, you should have done it differently.
I think hindsight-wise, I mean, it was great, but, you know, eventually I realized maybe this isn't my cup of tea because during that whole process of, like, getting tutored for classes and writing my letters of acceptance to go to a handful of colleges here in Wisconsin. I did eventually get accepted to go to Marquette University.
Which is awesome.
And, you know, I was just like super pumped. I'm like, oh my God, Marquette. And then, you know, I get there and I'm just like, yeah, maybe I should have looked around at some different colleges first. Instead of jumping on board like right away,
it was a good
college and everything, but it's just like, you know what? I haven't been in a classroom environment for almost a decade, and I'm in classroom sizes of like our graduating class back at Waterford, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not gonna want the damn thing in this class.
So you pretty much left DC and went straight to college.
Yeah,
with no break.
No break.
Oh, I commend you for that one.
I know. I had to take a couple years off.
Yeah. Wow. How long did you stay at Marquette? And what were you studying?
I stayed there for 2 years. I was pretty much just getting my my general courses done.
Okay.
Like math, history, some science courses.
And then you went where after Marquette? Or what did you do next?
And then after Marquette, I went to WCTC to do their physical therapy assistant program. And this was something I didn't know when I was at Marquette, was that their physical therapy program was only a doctorate degree. There was no assistant program.
Oh, man, could you imagine Dr. Jeremy? That's crazy. I mean, you'd be great at it, but it would go from a crayon eater to a doctor.
Right?
No, I'm just kidding.
Graduated.
A super fancy crayon eater, that's for sure.
You could get Crayola.
They could sponsor you.
I could get all the colors, not just blue.
Yeah,
I could get
teal
and turquoise.
There you go.
I can get 64 flavors.
So what are some of the positive things that you learned or did that made your transition more successful? Maybe it was before you got out or after you got out that you realized, like, oh, that was important. I know you had mentioned Heather being a huge help. Is there anything else that sticks out in your mind?
Well, and like, I think one of the things that really helped out was that, like, before I was retired, like, I knew this was something that I really wanted to do, and I knew what kind of program I wanted to get in. Mm-hmm. So I think that really helped motivate me and helped me focus on, you know, like, what I needed to get done and other things that I needed to get lined up.
Which is huge, because I think a lot of people get out and they don't know what they want to do when they grow up, like me.
Uh-huh.
Or Noah.
And then after WCTC, I finished all of my prerequisite courses, and then I had to apply to continue on to Black Hawk Tech down in Janesville, which is where you did all the physical therapy assistant classes. But, and this was kind of it was like a giant learning process for me as I was like trying out these different schools. And apparently they only took like 4 or 6 students from WCTC. And you had to have all these like, grades in these classes in order to continue on. And so, you know, I got those grades or even higher than I needed, but then, you know, they're like, oh, you didn't make the cut. I'm like, what the hell? And so, like, the only option was to like retake classes I got B's in and get A's in. And I'm like, oh my God, no. Oh, that just sounds horrible.
You know, what's interesting about your story and what I've heard in the past couple of minutes is, you know, a lot of veterans struggle, whether injuries or not. And it's interesting. It's almost like you, and maybe because you didn't mention it, but, you were so strong willed and strong headed that you didn't take a break after your injuries and you went straight to trying to achieve your goal. I just find that interesting because, you know, a lot of veterans, whether injuries or not, they find themselves lost in difficult places.
Feeling sorry for themselves.
And again, maybe you had that moment, maybe you didn't, but it's just interesting to hear you tell that story. It shows your character, I guess.
Well, and I definitely had my woe is me moment.
Yeah.
When I was at the Naval Hospital and in the beginning part of Walter Reed. And I remember Kelsey coming out to visit me when I was at the Naval Hospital, and she pretty much saw me in a woe is me moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was kind of one of the like more interesting things, especially when I got to Walter Reed, because look, all the Marines, like, it didn't matter like our units or what our MOS was, we all just like gelled together and like we were always hanging out, but like you rarely ever saw that with like the other branches.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I think I understand it just because the way my brother was a Marine and the way Marines act and talk. But that's very interesting.
And so, like, you know, it didn't matter, like, if we were just hanging out after therapy or if we were on one of these several rubber chicken dinners out in D.C.
Like, dog and pony shows?
Yes, the constant dog and pony shows.
Hey, but like, you got to meet 2 presidents in that process.
I did.
Which is pretty cool. So you should tell everybody who you met, because I'm pretty jealous, actually.
Who was it?
George W. Bush and Barack Obama.
That's pretty cool.
That's crazy. And you met Gary Sinise, too, right? I mean, he's not a president, obviously, but he's still
he's a big advocate.
Gary Sinise was, he must have been stopping by the hospitals like at least probably like half a dozen times throughout the year.
Wow.
Which is cool because, like, it's not like he publicized that.
No, he doesn't.
You know what I mean? Like, it was almost he was just doing it because he's a cool dude.
Yeah, it'd just be like super random.
That's awesome. So hearing that, like, the Marines that you were kind of in recovery with, right, for lack of better words, that kind of helped you get through that rough spot of, like, man, my life is completely different than I ever thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So if you could give advice to other veterans who are listening to this, who are either in the same boat that you were in, or maybe got out and have a different story but are struggling, like, what would you say to them?
I would say to them, you know, one thing for sure, that, you know, if you're struggling and if you're in a tough place, like, always reach out to somebody. Like, it doesn't matter if it's your parents, your siblings, or your old battle buddies from your unit, or if it's just talking to somebody at the your local VA. Like, that's where it all starts, is you realizing that you need help, and sometimes you can't always do it by yourself.
That's huge. That's good advice.
It seems to be in the other interview we did, it seems to be the going trend is to definitely reach out, especially to fellow veterans. Do you find yourself surrounded by fellow veterans or more civilian-based friends?
I'd say it's a healthy mixture.
Okay.
Yeah, you have like, I don't know, because I stalk you on Facebook sometimes. you have like a good solid group of like vet friends who have experienced a lot of what you've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously with the football team and stuff like that, you know, you found that group of people, but then like you have your cool Navy friends. Don't forget about me. And then, but no, I think you do surround yourself. You have a really great variety of friends, which I think is awesome. And your support system, I mean, your parents were saints through your whole process of like.
Yeah, they were. And,
I mean, I remember like that was back before it was easy to set up a webpage. And I think somebody in your family had made like a GeoCities webpage or something that was like following your journey so that we knew what was going on. So you've always had like an awesome support system, which is really great.
Mm-hmm.
So are there any resources that you used or you found especially helpful during your transition, after your transition, anything like that?
I know the VA regional office by the VA Milwaukee, like especially when it came to like my benefits and everything, that was always a nice tool to have.
Mm-hmm.
Did you work with somebody specific there?
Not really. No. That I can think of by name. But just about everyone there that I did work with was super, super great and helpful when it came to like figuring out like how to use my benefits and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And then you also received a house, didn't you?
Yeah, from Homes for Our Troops.
Yeah.
Is that a Wisconsin-based organization or is that nationwide?
Nationwide, but they're based out of Massachusetts.
Oh, all right.
And what they do is they build handicapable homes for disabled vets. And they're mortgage free.
Interesting.
His house is very pretty.
That's funny. Was there any other even local resources or those kind of things outside of the VA that were able to assist you in any kind of way?
Semper Fi Fund, they were really great too.
Yeah, we've used them before to help some veterans.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So what do you have going on now? Like, kind of give us an update of your life. Like, you transitioned out, went to school, got a degree, right?
Yep.
It's been what, eight, 9 years since you've been out?
Just about, yeah.
What's going on now? Where are you at?
So after WCTC, I decided to take a break and do a little more research on, like, colleges and how their programs work.
Okay.
And that's when I found Brighton and Stratton's occupational therapy assistant program. And I emailed the program director. I met with her. You know, she gave me a tour. It is a really small campus and college building. But, like, the thing that really drew me to that college and that program was that once you started in the program, there was no, like, transitioning or anything like that into the actual program itself. Like, once you started, you were in it. So, cool. And it was a five-semester program. It was an associate's degree. And so, after I completed that and graduated, that was back in 2018 when I graduated. And my wife and I have been married for about 5 years when that happened. And then I had to take my boards because just about in every medical profession, you have to take a board exam in whatever state you're going to practice in.
Yeah.
And then I took my boards. I was waiting to get the result of my boards, and then we had our son, Leo, back in September of 2018. And then, like, a day or two after that, I found out I passed my boards. I'm like, oh, my God.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
And then shortly after that, I started my job at Linden Grove.
Which is like a senior community, right?
Yeah. It's like an assisted living, rehab, and memory care facility.
That's cool. And you've worked with some, like, older vets, right? Which is kind of fun.
Yep. Yeah, that is really fun.
I'm sure they have some really great stories.
Oh, yeah. We always kid each other, especially when I have a Navy vet.
Oh, come on now. Come on now. I'm going to need you to just remember you're the sister branch. Anyways.
Yeah, but we're the men's department of the Navy.
There it is.
And there it is.
I was waiting for that one.
Well, that's awesome. Is there anything else you want to share with us or any other advice or anything like that?
I'd say my advice would be for, you know, other vets who are out there, you know, just because you may or may not be getting out soon, I wouldn't rush into a career or a college that you're not too sure about. I mean, I had 4.5 years while recovering to, like, think about what I really wanted to do and where to go. And I still ended up switching a few colleges once I retired and came home for good. So, you know, if you need, you know, a couple of months to figure out what you really want to do, I mean, take it. No one's telling you that you have to know exactly what your plan is going to be as soon as you get out.
I think that's super important.
That's solid advice.
Yeah. I think I changed my major 3 times before I finally figured it out. What about you, Noah?
I mean, I was in college when I transitioned out, and to this day I regret. I mean, I'm glad I have a bachelor's degree, but I regret that I wasted my GI Bill on that certain degree and would have got it in a different field. So had I waited, maybe I would have done something else, but now I can't go back. It is what it is, but yeah, I think that's some really solid advice.
Well,
because I remember all the command was just like, oh, everything's got to be lined up and yada, yada, yada. I'm just like, dude, just shut up.
That's TAPS, though. It just kind of rushes you and pushes you to make up something.
It wasn't so much TAPS, too. It was, you know, the command that we had at the Naval Hospital as well.
I gotcha.
Well, thanks so much for coming, Jeremy. I really appreciate you sharing your story, and I think you had a lot of valuable lessons that we can all kind of take from.
Yes.
So thank you so much for spending some time with us. And
you're welcome.
I hope you have a lovely day.
Yes, thank you for coming and hanging out with us. And hopefully your story inspires other veterans and helps somebody.
I hope so, too. And Kelsey, I hope you send me that box of crayons soon.
Will do. I'll put it in the mail tomorrow. All right. Have a good day.
All right. You too, guys.
We'll see you. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Well, I think that went really well.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I think, and I said it earlier to him, I wasn't trying to bring up like old memories, but it was just interesting in him telling a story that he didn't even mention a difficult time, which obviously you could imagine being an amputee and going through what he went through, that there's obviously pain and a lot of things there, but that he didn't focus on that.
I have to say, like, I was one of the only people who was not family who was able to go visit him.
Yeah.
And, like, when he started talking about it, I got, like, choked up because that was a hard moment.
Yeah.
But Jeremy has always been super positive.
No, I think
no matter what. And that's a trait I admire about him because I think we could all take a little bit from that. And
no, it's, I mean, everything that came out of his mouth is very inspirational and, it's forward focused, not back focused. And it's, you know, his advice is really good. And, it's interesting that the two people that we've spoken to so far that both work in a career field of giving back to somebody in society, whether it be veterans or, like him giving back to senior citizens. And I'm sure down the line, other veterans work in different types of fields, but it's just interesting to see that, they're positive living, and part of that is giving back in some way, form, or another.
Yeah, so for sure.
But do you have anything else?
No, I think we're good. Another successful episode.
Very much so. So if you want any information on the podcast or you are a veteran who wants to tell your story, you can find more information about us at aveteranspodcast.com. There's a way to sign up. Today's show is sponsored by Wisconsin Veterans Network, an established Wisconsin nonprofit ran by veterans for veterans. Their mission is to provide guidance and support for all veterans, whether Guard, Reserve, active, or even a bad discharge, looking for any kind of assistance in the state of Wisconsin. If you're a Wisconsin veteran looking for an answer, whether a simple question about benefits or currently homeless, give them a call today. You can find more information about them at wisvetsnet.org. Or at aveteranspodcast.com.
Thank you for listening to A Veterans Podcast today. To learn more about us, to hear previous episodes, or if interested in being on the show, you can find us at aveteranspodcast.com. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Wisconsin Veterans Network, a Wisconsin nonprofit operated by veterans and serving veterans in need. Till next time.
We'll see you guys.